are talking baseball on Wednesday, November 22nd. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you have a great, great holiday. We'll be back to talk to you next week. All right, that's it. That sounds like I'm outroing right now. Have a great show. Have a great day, everybody. See you later. Wow, now I suck at intros. How about that?
Yeah, you're so bad at outros that now you're just going all the way. You're gonna suck at the beginning and suck at the end, but the middle is gonna be great. Kind of like an Oreo.
You don't like the Oreo?
The cookie is the worst part of the Oreo.
Hmm.
Objectively.
But always objectively. But that doesn't mean that the cookie's bad.
Look, I never said your intros are bad. You did.
Thank you. A very uncomfortable start to the show, because I feel like Chris just took a picture of me via Skype.
No, I was taking a picture of myself.
Oh, okay. All right. It was weird.
I was Snapchatting with a friend. You don't know about Snapchat because you're not a youngin.
See, Wednesday, I mean, it's always, you know, there's never anybody in the office for me since I work from home, but Wednesday in the Fort Lauderdale office where Chris is, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it's like, you know, there's like nobody there, right? How many people were there?
I would say, so I've been during football season, I get to the office usually 10:30, 11 o'clock, because I write a piece at home first and then come into the office, and usually I have to park in like the third or fourth row in the parking lot. Today I was in the second row.
Oh,
so that, I think, tells you everything.
It does. Tells me a lot. All right. What do we have for you today? We've got one player who will be better and one who will be worse for the Royals, the White Sox, and the Tigers next year.
Did you tell me to do that?
I sure did.
I don't remember it.
Wait, did I not?
Let's see. I can do it. I can do it on the fly. I got this.
I'm looking at the email that I sent you, better and worse, KC, White Sox, Detroit.
You've got
15 minutes or so to think of it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Aaron Judge's shoulder, talk about the Braves cheating. We've got the all-Christmas team, which is really funny, from Ken from Fort Worth.
Excellent.
A Thanksgiving-related tweet, and your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. So, Chris, and Scott's not here. He's back on paternity leave. He'll be back in 7 weeks. Scott will be back next week. Oh, so we did a draft yesterday, actually, and it was really, really interesting. And I was going to say, hey, let's talk about the draft today, but I want to wait for Scott to be here. So we'll do that next week.
My team is incredible.
Yeah, I went – I'll just say, you know, teaser for next week. I went heavy pitching, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's really interesting. But I decided –
I drafted an ace.
You got one ace?
I got one ace.
See, like three of my first six and maybe four of my first eight picks were pitchers. And I decided, I've been talking all this time about how we have to prioritize pitching. I might as well actually do it. So let's see how the team turned out, but that'll be next week. Chris, Aaron Judge, he had arthroscopic shoulder surgery. And I know he went in the second or the third round yesterday.
Second round.
All right, so he was out of the first round. And I'll look up exactly where he went. But arthroscopic shoulder surgery, and I mentioned this last week, you know, there was a lot of speculation that when he went on the horrible slump, 52 games after the All-Star break, 182 batting average, striking out 1.52 times per game. That was up from 1.3 strikeouts per game before the All-Star break. But a 182 average and 9 home runs in 52 games. Maybe the shoulder did have a lot to do with it, or maybe it was just a slump. But anyway, do you have any reaction to Aaron Judge getting arthroscopic shoulder surgery?
I don't think that's why he fell in the draft. I'll start by saying that. I do think that it played some part in his slump, but I will also point out that he was incredible in the month of September. So I don't know if it's like a magic bullet and we can just say, oh, Aaron Judge had shoulder surgery, he's going to be fine now.
Yeah.
Because he does have those holes in his game. You know, he is going to go through slumps like that because he's so tall.
He's very tall.
His bat is so long.
He went 19th overall. Seventh pick?
I would say that's within the range of where I would expect him to be taken, maybe a bit on the lower end. You know, he did go ahead of Giancarlo Stanton, which I think had more to do with just weird Giancarlo Stanton slide.
He went around ahead of Giancarlo Stanton. You took Stanton with the middle of the third round.
Yeah, I think I had the fifth pick, and I took him in the fifth pick of the third round. I think that was more, you know, the draft room hasn't been updated. People just didn't have Giancarlo Stanton on their minds. But I would say that's around where I would expect Judge to go. He's going to be a high variance player next season. There's a chance he has another monster season. I think there's a chance that he has a season where he hits 220.
Yeah, Judge was the seventh pick of round two, 19th overall. Yep. And Gary Sanchez was one pick after to Chris Towers. Enough about the draft. That's for next week. MLB, the Players Association, and the Japanese League that houses Shohei Ohtani, they've all agreed on a deal regarding a posting system. So Ohtani will be coming on over to he's going to be on the Yankees, right? Can we just all agree?
No. Yeah. He's going to be on the Marlins.
Okay, yeah, that's going to happen.
I think we all know that.
Right. No. I'm very excited for him to be on the Yankees. In fact, I think we should already like do position. Like, who's out of the Yankees rotation when Ohtani signs?
I think they're going to. I think, and I would hope, and we talked about this a little bit last week, I would hope that whichever team signs him goes with a six-man rotation.
I don't think you can do that.
Why not?
I just think I think you'd have to play a position player short then, because I don't think you can remove a guy from your bullpen.
Well, Adam.
Yeah.
You've got an extra position player. Because Shohei Ohtani can be your DH and fill in the outfield as well.
It all works out. Yes.
I hope whichever team signs him takes advantage of the flexibility that he's going to afford. I think a six-man rotation, let him DH three or four times a week when he's not, and that way you've got kind of 26 roster spots, right?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Well, no, you've got 20.
You've got 25 roster spots, but you've got 25 because he can be both a pitcher and a hitter.
But you can use him
as that bat off the bench when he's not starting. You can use him as a DH.
Yeah.
You can go with a four-man bench and not be as shorthanded as a lot of teams often are when they go with a four-man bench.
You know what would be really bad, a really bad thing for fantasy baseball? A six-man rotation. It would be very bad for the pitchers.
It would be different.
No, it would be bad because you'd lose two start weeks. You'd have guys making fewer starts, objectively.
Yeah. I mean, there would still be some two start weeks, but yeah, for the most part, you would lose a lot of them, and that would take out some of the strategy, but everybody loses it.
Okay, let's just do some quick math. Ready? 162 divided by 5, 32.4. 162 divided by... Oh, crap. I hit the wrong button. All right. So 162 divided by 6, 27.
Like 26,
you're missing 5.5 starts per season from a pitcher. That's terrible.
Well, you're losing 5.5 starts for like 15 pitchers. How many guys are actually making 33 starts?
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. It's bad. So also, the Braves cheated. Scott's not here. Oof. We'd love to get his thoughts on it, but very harsh punishments. And they lost 12 international prospects. They're now free agents.
What's really interesting about that is these guys have to go through the same international signing system as Shohei Ohtani. And so there's going to be some team that's just hoarding all their cash. There's going to be many teams that are hoarding all their cash for Shohei Ohtani. And all of a sudden there's these 13, you know, somewhat significant, I think, you know, varying degrees. Kevin Maitán is considered the best of them. But guys that are back into that free agent pool in a year where there's not more money available. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Teams could get real bargains on some of these guys.
But the most that they can give Ohtani is $3.5 million as a bonus.
It depends on which team. Some teams can give him $3.5 million. I think the Yankees are one of them.
The Yankees and the Rangers are the only teams.
And then there's other teams that can only give him, that can only offer $100,000.
Right.
So, I think the Red Sox are one of those teams that can only offer a couple hundred thousand.
Mm-hmm. So he'll be on the Yankees. Joe Morgan wants steroid users out of the Hall of Fame. What did you think of Joe Morgan's letter? I agree with him. I agree. Never. I would never, ever, 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 ever vote for a guy that we knew used steroids. I would never vote for that guy to be in the Hall of Fame.
So who do we know used steroids?
Barry Bonds, Andy Pettit.
Why do we know Barry Bonds used steroids? Like, I get
No. See, this, I have this argument with a lot of people. There's no doubt about it.
I agree. But how are you making this decision?
Because I'll tell you why. Because he said that he used steroids, but he thought they were arthritis balm. He called them the cream and the clear. There's no doubt with Barry Bonds that he used the cream in the clear. His excuse was
assuming leaked grand jury testimony is true.
There's no doubt. We know for a fact that Barry Bonds used.
Okay, so here's my thing. All right. And I agree. And I'm not saying they're the same thing. But when we say that steroid, because the argument that Joe Morgan's using is that they gained an unfair advantage that wasn't available to players of previous generations that put them ahead of their peers, right?
Yeah, but that's not the whole thing. The other thing is like they tarnished baseball by cheating, right? Wasn't that part
right,
of it?
But
or no?
Like Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean that all cheaters should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, sure, but like it's an arbitrary line to draw.
I don't think it's that arbitrary. You're like
it
using
is.
A chemical substance to gain strength and clearly cheat. It's
we're gonna put Tommy John in the Hall of Fame through the Veterans Committee, right?
Yeah, he cheat?
That is the definition of using science to gain a competitive advantage that was not available to players of previous generations.
Come on, sir. You don't even
Sandy
believe what
Koufax's
you're saying.
Career came to an end because of elbow injuries that might have allowed him to play. Okay. Had he been born in 1972
Chris,
instead of 1940.
Chris, so you're telling me that...
I'm not telling you
so
anything.
So then don't even make a ridiculous argument.
I'm just asking you where we draw this arbitrary line. LASIK surgery.
No, come on.
Why not?
Stop. Stop.
Why is
stop.
LASIK you're... surgery different from steroids?
Oh, come on, Chris.
Why? Answer the question.
Well, for one thing, it's legal.
There is no evidence that any of these players broke the law. Steroids are legal. What's illegal is using them without a prescription, but there's not necessarily any evidence that Barry Bonds didn't have a prescription.
Chris, like, don't even play the semantics here. You know there's a difference between steroids and LASIK.
I agree. If I had a vote, I would not vote for Manny Ramirez this year.
Right. We know Manny Ramirez used steroids.
I would vote for Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds. And the reason I would is because both of those guys were Hall of Famers regardless of whether they used steroids or not. If Barry Bonds retired after the 1998 season, he has 450 career home runs, 450 career steals, 3 MVPs, should have been 4. They gave Terry Pendleton one of the worst MVP awards of all time. It should have been Barry Bonds. He's a no-doubt Hall of Famer. In fact, if you took Barry Bonds before he started taking steroids, did like some Dragon Ball Z fusion thing where you split him in half into like Barry Bonds, the fast guy, and Barry Bonds, the power hitter, you probably have 2 Hall of Fame players.
Of course.
Like Barry Bonds is so clearly a Hall of Fame caliber player that keeping him out because he used steroids, it does nothing.
But it bothers me that anybody that would willfully cheat the game like that would get in the Hall of Fame. And I think for me,
there's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, fine. So keep them all out. So I would say that, you know, I think you need to send a message that if you took steroids, you don't get in the Hall of Fame. And that's
you know
a deterrent
when they should
for
have
anybody
sent that
else.
Message before Bud Selig basically allowed guys to take steroids by turning a blind eye. Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
he was the commissioner during the home run era.
I don't like the argument
that Bobby Cox is in the Hall of Fame. He had steroid users on his team. Why doesn't Bobby Cox get kept out of the Hall of Fame? Also, Joe Morgan starts citing the character clause. Bobby Cox had police called to his house for a domestic violence incident. Why is Bobby Cox allowed to be in the Hall of Fame but not Barry Bonds?
Because character clause in baseball doesn't mean off the field stuff. It means character in the game. That's why O.J. Simpson's in the Hall of Fame. And I don't buy the argument, that this guy's in, so that means we should turn a blind eye to everything. You're just making a problem
worse.
I'm not saying
turn a blind eye, but I think drawing a line and saying any player who used steroids, regardless of when they did or what impact it had on their career, I think that's a stupid way to view it.
I know.
Barry Bonds is, you cannot, and this is really the way I view it. When you talk about the Hall of Fame, can you tell the story of baseball without that player?
Yeah.
The answer is clearly no on Barry Bonds. The answer is clearly no on Roger Clemens.
But
on Manny Ramirez,
people wouldn't know.
I don't know.
But you then make a steroids wing for all I care.
Sure, acknowledge their steroid use on the plaque. I'm fine with that. But these guys belong.
No, they should be in a separate section, the hell section of the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame. The Hall of Shame.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're going with these weird technicalities that even you don't believe. So I'm not even going to take you seriously, Chris. I just hope you're okay with
I
that.
Think you should never take me seriously.
Mission accomplished. And then something that you didn't take very seriously at all. I tweeted yesterday that I was listening to just some music, and I was stumbling upon some old MTV Unplugged, and I got to Pearl Jam. And I'm not really a big Pearl Jam fan, to be honest with you. But I think that Jeremy is a better song than Smells Like Teen Spirit.
And ridiculous.
Jeremy should be considered the best rock song of the 90s.
Completely ridiculous. I'm with you. I'm not the biggest Pearl Jam fan. I've caught some heat for my Pearl Jam hot takes. I think they're pretty good. I think they're like the Police. You know, a very good band. Not sure they made any great records, not any albums that I listen to constantly. But they're a great band. They belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know if they ever took steroids. Jeremy's not a better song than Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's ridiculous. It's such, like, you're well known for your bad music opinions. I think we can all agree.
No, I don't agree.
It's such a bad take. It's such, like, Jeremy is fine. It's got that great 12-string bass riff at the beginning. It's got Eddie Vedder making weird Eddie Vedder faces in the music video with his like long hair and his weird mouth.
His eyes, his crazy
but
eyes.
But Smells Like Teen Spirit has the most iconic guitar riff of the 90s.
Yeah, that's the thing about...
And the most iconic drum fill of the 90s.
That's the thing about the iconic guitar riff. I mean, Smells Like Teen Spirit was the first song I ever learned to play on guitar.
Yeah. That's the, probably true for most people.
It's the easiest song in the world. Like,
and it's brilliant.
It is. It's great.
You
but
don't like,
there's got to be something, you know, you got to lose
don't
some
like
points.
Punk music. I think that's what it is you're one of these people okay. who thinks that technical complexity
no.
is important in
no.
the value of a song.
No.
Go listen to Yngwie Malmsteen and those other guitar shredder. Go watch the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Watch some guys shred while playing crappy music. Give me good music. And Smells Like Teen Spirit is a good song. Oh. I don't care how easy
did
it is.
Did I ever
to play.
Say that it wasn't? I said it was worse than Jeremy. And I it, like it and
not.
I just said Jeremy might be the best song of the 90s.
It's not.
And
it's not.
You know, but we always just say, "Oh, Smells Like Teen Spirit's the best song," because you know, the critics have told us for so long that it's the best song of the 90s. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it.
The critics are right.
They might be, but so you know, I'm right too. So let's get to baseball here. Let's lose
no.
some. No, yeah, no, this is fun. Look aheads for 2018: a player who will be better on the Kansas City Royals and a player who will be worse on the Kansas City Royals. I guess I'll go to give you some time.
I got it.
All right, go ahead. Who will be better?
How about this? I'm gonna go with the most surprising pick. Nobody would have ever expected it. Eric Hosmer will be better next season because he will not be playing for the Royals. He will be playing for the Boston Red Sox.
Okay. And you're the park factor is what you
I
like.
I think that part, I think if he goes to the Boston Red Sox, that park is perfectly suited to Eric Hosmer's swing. I think he will be a monster if he goes there. That is my official prediction.
And I will just hope that Danny Duffy gets healthy in the off season. He had elbow surgery to remove loose bodies from his elbow.
Never want loose bodies.
Never want that. His velocity was down all year last year, but, you know, usually you lose velocity throughout the season. He actually maintained his velocity throughout the season. It was still a little bit down, but, like, you compare, April 2016 to 2017, big drop. You compare September 2016 to 2017, not as big of a drop. So, and he started to get the strikeouts later in the year. So I'm optimistic that Danny Duffy can get the strikeouts back up to around a strikeout per inning. And hopefully he's a little healthier next year. He's my player who will be better. He had 3.81 ERA, 1.26 WHIP, which really isn't that bad. But yeah, I expect better things. All right, who's going to be worse?
Mike Moustakas is the easy call. I don't know if you said the same thing, but
nope.
I think he's definitely going to be worse.
Why?
Just doesn't have the track record to back up what he did last season. You know, I like the swing. He's another guy that if he lands in the right place, maybe could keep it up. But I don't see what he hit 38 home runs last season.
Uh-huh.
I don't see him keeping that up. I don't see him sustaining the 270 average. And I think there's a pretty good chance he's not a fantasy relevant third baseman next season.
Wow. All right. That's pretty interesting. Well then, my guy is W. Hit Merrifield. I'm just trying to look up where Moustakas finished.
But the fact that he also had a big time second half fall doesn't help his case as well.
How many games did he play?
148.
And he was 13th in points at third base? Really? How is that possible? Interesting. Because he
didn't strike out much.
Well, he doesn't walk. He doesn't walk. 34 walks, so in points he's not as good. I'm sure he was a lot higher in Roto. I'll double check on that. My guy was W. Hit Merrifield. W. Hit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield. Going to be 29 years old in January. He had a very, very late breakout. But he was the number 8 second baseman in points, number 7 in Roto. Batted 288 with 19 home runs, and he stole 34 bases, which is really encouraging. But this guy hit 2 home runs as a rookie in 2016 in half a season in 81 games. Went up to 19 home runs last year in 145 games. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was not a prospect. He had a 745 OPS in the PCL in 2016. So I just juiced baseball, Whit Merrifield. I like the steals, and the peripherals aren't that bad. Like, he's like Moustakas. He doesn't walk, but he doesn't strike out. But yeah, I'm not feeling it with Whit Merrifield. He just feels like one of those guys that
Chris
we're
Chris Taylor of the Midwest.
Yeah, that we're going to say, yeah, one hit wonder. He's going
to
disappoint.
I will. Something that I do think needs to be said, because you and Scott have discussed the idea of the juice ball being phased out and changed. It's unlikely that that would happen at the beginning of the season.
Why?
Because in 2015, when we understand the ball changed, or when we assume that the ball changed based on the evidence, the change happened pretty much at the All-Star break. And I believe the reason for that is that teams have like months worth of baseballs in reserve. Uh-huh. They're not going to throw all of them out and buy new ones. They're going to have to go through them. So I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing at the start of the season if it happens.
Interesting. I did see a quote last week. It might have been from Manfred himself, but it was somebody in the MLB office. They acknowledged that, you know, they're looking at the baseball. So I expect some changes. All right, let's go to the White Sox. Player who will be better on the White Sox, Chris. Good luck.
This one's hard.
Yeah, good luck with this.
I'll go with one of the rookie pitchers. Lucas Giolito actually had a 2.38 ERA last season, but the peripherals did not back
that
up at all.
He'll be worse.
He's not going to have a 2.38 ERA, but I would bet he has a better fit than 494. I think his true talent level probably improves. It could be a lot like Dylan Bundy, who was a better pitcher, even if the top line numbers didn't quite show that. And Reynaldo Lopez, I expect him to strike out more than 6 batters per 9, which is what he was at last year. I just think the stuff is there. I think he'll be a lot better.
Now, I say this, my guy who will be better, without really knowing their bullpen all that well and what the plans will be, but Nate Jones only had pitched 11 and two-thirds innings. Nate Jones is a really good pitcher. In 2016, he was elite. He had a 2.29 ERA. He struck out 80 in 70 and two-thirds. He only walked 15 for a reliever. That's crazy. Nate Jones had a .89 whip, and I just see him. Look, he had mid-season elbow surgery, so it might take a little while. But I see Nate Jones as a guy who could be their closer at some point. That's my guy who will be better for the White Sox. My guy who will be worse, Avi Garcia. Is that who you're going to go with?
There's no other answer. This is not a team that had a lot of guys play well.
Right. Definitely Garcia. He batted .330. And he had a big September. I don't know if that means anything. He finally had some power. Batted .355 with 5 home runs and 5 doubles.
92 BABIP, though.
Yeah, no, the BABIP was crazy, and he didn't hit for any power. I mean, if you're an outfielder, you don't steal bases, you only hit 18 home runs. No, I'm sorry. No Avi Garcia for us. So that brings us to the Detroit Tigers, a player who will be better next year, Chris.
I guess I should stick on brand and say Nicholas Castellanos, although Miguel Cabrera is also another very good choice for this. Nicholas Castellanos actually finished with decent numbers, got hot in the second half of the season, but the peripherals say he's going to be even better.
I got Miggy, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I got him in the fourth round in that draft we did yesterday. That feels like it could be league winning type of value.
Stanton in the third and Mickey in the fourth. Wow. So who's your ace, Chris?
Yu Darvish.
Oh yeah,
so
that's
kind of iffy ish, ace ish. but better than I usually go with.
Okay. So good for you, changing old habits. And a player who will be worse. I cheated, and I picked a guy who used to be on the Tigers, is now on the Angels. I'm going to say Justin Upton will be better, will be worse. I don't know how he did what he did last year. It was really remarkable. It was consistent, which even at his best, Justin Upton was never consistent.
Yeah.
He had an OPS below 800 two straight years, and then it was 901 last year. Not as good for the Angels after the trade. I didn't understand it. We were waiting and waiting and waiting for that slump to come. It never came. The team stunk, and somehow Justin Upton had a really good season, batting .273 with 35 home runs. And the most surprising thing, 44 doubles. That just came out of nowhere. I can't see him doing that again. I will not be paying for Justin, I will not be paying for 2017 production for Justin Upton.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. He's probably someone that might get overdrafted, and when he falls, he's good value, but we know who Justin Upton is.
Well, we thought we did. I want to see how he did in Los Angeles of Anaheim at that park, Angel Stadium. He batted .245, but he did hit 6 home runs in 16 games, so damn good OPS.
Not a lot to take out from that, though.
No. Chris, who's going to be worse from the Tigers?
This is another hard one just because teams that are bad usually don't have guys overperforming. So I could go with two guys who were traded. I would bet Justin Verlander and JD Martinez are both not as good next season as they were specifically after their trades. But I won't cheat. I won't be like Adam and break the rules. I'll go with Ian Kinsler. It's time. He was still pretty good for fantasy. 22 homers, 14 steals last season, 90 runs scored. It's going to end at some point. This guy's 35. He's a free agent. Changing scenery can always, can sometimes knock guys off their game. So I'll say Ian Kinsler.
I just feel really dirty for going on that whole rant about cheating. And I'm not getting in the podcasting Hall of Fame if I keep taking someone like Justin Upton and acting like he's on the Tigers.
Well, also, you've got some enhancements.
Oh yeah,
on your you've got some vocal enhancements that might keep you out. I might have to write a letter when you're eligible for the Podcasting Hall of Fame.
That's fine. I mean, it is
spill
cheating.
The beans, you know.
No, it's well known. I turn the treble down a little bit and I turn the bass up just a little bit, just a little bit. I'll look at the mixer right now. The treble is instead of at 12 o'clock, it's at 11, and the bass is at 1 o'clock. It's really. It just makes my voice a little bit deeper. I want the listeners to enjoy it more. It's not like I'm going to get a new contract out of it here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're doing it for the Barry Bonds was doing it for the fans too.
Yeah, right.
The fans in San Francisco love Barry Bonds.
That's who he loves, though. He loves the fans. All right. So here's our email of the day. It's from Ken in Fort Worth, Texas. He's got the all Christmas team. Okay, we've done Halloween. Here's the all Christmas team. I did not put these in your notes, Chris.
Okay.
I want you to be surprised. We've got Yul E. Gurriel.
Great.
Josh Silverbell.
Sure.
Chris Kringle Bryant.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole in your stocking.
Sure.
Jack Frost Flaherty. Jonathan Ho-Ho Holder.
Yeah.
That's good. St. Nick Markakis.
Yeah.
Lonnie Deck the Chisenhall.
That's good.
Sengwan O Christmas Tree.
Very good. O Tannenbaum.
What is it?
Isn't that the original?
I don't know.
Yeah, O Tannenbaum. It's like a German thing, I think.
Really? I have no idea what that means. And Lorenzo Candy Cane.
Excellent.
These are very good, Ken. Very good. I can't really think of... What's that?
We skipped Thanksgiving, though.
Right. I can't really think of any Thanksgiving except for Greg Bird.
Kendall Gravyman. Turkey Wendell.
Are you doing this off the top of your head?
No, I'm doing some searching. I'm trying to find a cranberry. Oh, Daryl Cranberry.
That's awesome. There's got to be one that rhymes with gravy. Steve Gravy.
Kendall Gravyman.
Steve. Oh, sorry. I forgot. Steve Gravy.
a player who played in the 1909 through 1927 era, stuffing McInnes.
This is great. And there's got to be like Robinson can o, you know, corn or can o gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there beets? Like, I thought about Thanksgiving. I couldn't come
Nate
up with anything.
Creamed Cornejo.
Okay. Okay, great. So, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side, Chris?
Cornbread.
Okay. So my mom makes a corn souffle that now my wife makes. It's absolutely delicious.
I don't like the corn souffle. I just like the cornbread.
Okay, well.
I make great cornbread. I put some cheese in there. I cook in the cast iron skillet with some butter, a little bacon maybe, some sriracha if I'm feeling frisky.
Nice. I'm trying to find this tweet. Why can't I find it? I retweeted it. I wonder... It's weird. All right, so anyway, Jeff Schwartz is a former offensive lineman.
Yes.
He's been on our Fantasy Football Today podcast. And he tweeted something about Thanksgiving sides. And I will find it because it's very interesting. Oh, here it is. It's from 538. He retweeted something from 538. Mm. The most disproportionately consumed Thanksgiving side dish in each region. So you've got the Southeast. They favor macaroni and cheese.
Obviously.
Not a huge surprise. The Northeast, where I currently am, squash. That's pretty weak. The Midwest, looks like Ohio. I don't really know geography that well, but the Midwest here, rolls / biscuits.
Sure.
Then you've got like the Heartland, green beans and casserole. And then you've got Texas, Oklahoma, you've got the Southwest, cornbread. Is their favorite thing. So that makes sense. Then you've got like the left half of the country. Salad. Salad is their side.
Like, I get the methodology is such that it's which one they like more than other regions. Like, which one is popular relative to other regions. But still, salad, guys.
Disproportionately consumed Thanksgiving side dish. Salad. And Jeff Schwartz is who I saw. He said, like, what did he say? He said, so embarrassing for the West Coast.
It is. It's embarrassing.
It really is. I will not have one piece of salad tomorrow for Thanksgiving.
I'm making like a spinach dip.
Yep.
Like a spinach and artichoke dip with a lot of cream cheese and Gruyere and various other. Like, that's salad, right?
No,
that's spinach.
That's the way salads.
That's,
you know,
the closest that will come to eating salad.
Exactly, exactly. All right, let's do some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from the other Scott. Dear Grumpkins, Snarks, and others.
I have no idea.
Oh, I figured you would know. It just felt like something you would know since you're a snark. I thought the offseason might be a good time to bring this up. We didn't read this last week, did we? Stop me if we read it.
No.
FBT is powerful enough to change the world. For MLB, make all the bases flat like home and change rule to allow the runners to overrun second and third in the same manner as first base, as long as they don't make the turn. This would eliminate base-related injuries, and I think it is dumb when a guy who beats the throw gets called out when he comes off the bag by a millimeter for a millisecond.
I agree that it is dumb when a guy comes off the bag for a millisecond and is called out when he beat the throw. I think a better... I don't agree with the allow them to overrun second and third. I just think that's silly. You're in play. The reason you can do it at first is because you're running out of play, you know?
You're not really running out of play.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, you're not, though.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Anyway. but I don't agree with that rule, but I do think we need to make it like in basketball. You know, the cylinder, the invisible cylinder that extends infinitely through the air, or the goalposts in football. I think the base should be like that. If you're on top of the base, you're on the base.
Hmm.
Touch it.
What if we just made the bases like a lot higher? You know, like 4 feet off the ground, but they were soft. They were like cushiony.
They're like, so you have to hug them?
Yes. And you would never come off the base.
You know, I mean, when we were kids, we used to play with like a tree was the base and you just have to touch it. So right. I guess it's kind of the same thing, except it's not a tree.
Yeah, sure.
What if it was a tree?
It's what? Wow.
It'd be
what
so scenic.
Were? Yeah. So, okay, the other question from the other Scott is, what about Daniel Murphy? What's the deal with him being held out 8 times in September? Anything that concerns you going forward for Daniel Murphy?
Didn't he have surgery?
He did have surgery, and that does concern me. And there's not even certainty that Daniel Murphy, who had knee surgery, will be ready for the start of the regular season. And he's just an injury-prone guy. Like, he seems to sort of wear down at the end of the year, and that is definitely something you need to keep in mind with Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, he's also just awesome. And if you get 140 games out of Daniel Murphy, you're going to be very happy with the results. Although he is, what, 32 years old?
I don't know offhand.
Certainly older than you would think based on the fact that he's really only been an elite player for 2.5 years. But there's some concern that he'll fall off this year. I think he's definitely a risk. At this point, I think you definitely have to downgrade him.
Grumpkins and Snarks are from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you'd know that. I wouldn't.
I don't.
That's bad on you that you don't know.
I feel like that must be from the books, because I don't remember that from the TV show.
I don't know.
This is from Matt in a small city in Northern California, but not the Bay Area.
Mount Shasta.
Dear Andre, Mandy, and Carrie.
Cast of This Is Us.
What? No, it's the cast of The Princess Bride.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Mandy Patinkin.
Grade my trade.
I thought it was Mandy Moore.
You're such a tween. Grade my trade in a Dynasty 5x5 categories league. Give Chris Archer, get Alex Reyes and Luis Castillo.
That's tough. I tend to think it's a B+. I think it's a win. But it's super risky. Like, Luis Castillo could just be as good as Chris Archer. Like, based on what he showed last year, I think he's got tons of upside. I think the strikeout potential is similar, but we haven't seen him do it for as long as Chris Archer. And obviously, Alex Reyes could be the best pitcher in baseball. Or he could never throw a major league pitch. You know, we haven't seen him succeed in the majors more than, you know, a cup of coffee, and he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. There's a risk, but that definitely sets you up to potentially have two aces, and I think that's worth doing.
All right, here's an email from Noah. Dear Griffin, Justin, and Travis.
The cast of This Is Us.
I have no idea who these people are. I don't even see the
Google.
I've
got a friend named Travis and his brother's named Justin.
I went to school. Middle school, I had a good friend named Travis and Justin. This
it's
might be from my middle school basketball team. I don't remember having a Griffin, but we definitely had a Justin and a Travis, so let's just say that.
It's a podcast called My Brother and Me.
Oh, okay. 12-team head-to-head category. Are you sure it's not my basketball? Yeah, you're probably right.
No, it's your middle school basketball
team. Undefeated season, by the way. 12-team head-to-head categories league. 3 outfielders, middle infield, corner infield. We have an auction with a $240 budget. He's keeping Altuve. He's keeping Scherzer. They're pretty expensive. Who should his other two keepers be? A $1 Justin Boer. $8 Mike Boustakas. $3 Elvis Andrews. $1 Smoke. $26 Karis Davis. $1 Tommy Pham. $13 Rich Hill. $1 Alex Wood. $1 Luke Weaver. And then he wrote $130 to line out a shift. Did I read that? I feel like I read this already.
No, you didn't.
Because I feel like I remember $130 to line out a shields, which must have been 13.
Nope, that you have not read this one. Am I crazy to say that you shouldn't keep Max Scherzer at that price?
$38.
In a $240 budget, too. So, you know, we're usually talking about $260. I think I might let Scherzer go.
But you'll keep a $30 Altuve.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm liking a $1 Tommy Pham.
I like Tommy Pham for $1. I like Elvis Andrus for $3. I like Luke Weaver for $1. I like Alex Wood for $1. You know, it's always tough because keeping Max Scherzer, you're guaranteeing that you have that ace, and that's very valuable. But there's no way you get Luke Weaver for a dollar in the draft. There's no way you get Elvis Andrews for $3. There's no way you get Tommy Pham for a dollar. And so I think I might keep those guys, and I might just go out and spend $38 on Max Scherzer again.
Okay. All right, here's from Jason. Next year I'm coming back with Goldschmidt, Altuve, Carpenter, Broxton, DeGrom, and Richards. So he's got mostly hitting. Well, he's got DeGrom, Richards. Okay. I need to keep one of the following players. $10 Chris Bryant, $6 Cody Bellinger, $34 Chris Sale.
You are keeping Chris Bryant and Cody Bellinger and letting go of either Garrett Richards or Keon Broxton.
If he can't do that for whatever reason, and he could only keep one of Bryant, Bellinger, Sale.
It's Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Chris is right, though. $6 Bellinger is much better than a $1 Broxton or Richards.
Yep.
All right, we got John from New York. 10-team head-to-head points league. I'm drafting eighth. We can keep up to three players for up to 2 years. He's going to keep Sale and Verlander. Who should be his last keeper? He's keeping Sale and Verlander. Carrasco, fourth-round pick, can be kept for 2 years. Giolito, 23rd pick for 2 years. 23rd round pick for 2 years. Bryce Harper, first-round pick for 2 years. Mookie Betts, second-round pick for 1 year. Rhys Hoskins, 23rd-round pick for 2 years.
So you're always searching for surplus value when you're talking about keepers, and that's why I don't think Harper is in that discussion, although you probably can't get him at eighth either. So if you really want him, you could keep him. I wouldn't. For me, it's either Betts or Hoskins, and I think Scott would go with Hoskins. I think I would go Betts.
How do you feel? I just want to piss everybody off. How do you feel about a 2019 Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper, Shohei Ohtani, Yankees outfield?
Whatever.
Okay, cool.
Like, you know, enjoy your number six starter and your 220 hitting Aaron Judge, and Bryce Harper can't stay healthy. Congratulations. Way to go.
Okay, this is from Andrew. Thank you, Barry, by the way. I'm very happy about that. It's too much fun. So he wants to do more Halloween team names. Trick or Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Ian Deadman.
I don't
like Ian Desmond.
Desmond.
Deadman.
Okay. Yeah.
Edwin Reencarnacion.
That's a very good.
That's one of the best.
Yeah.
I'd also like to put my vote in for the submission, Witch Haniger, to be on the team. I know it's an obvious rhyme, but it's hilarious. Something about the last name paired with Witch. And I think Scott is wrong. Kevin Scaremeyer is perfect. I know it isn't a perfect rhyme, but that's how it goes sometimes. Paternity leave seems to have stunted his imagination.
It's very good.
Yeah. Scaremeyer, it's great. From Jason. Dear Yankees, Royals, Braves, and Marlins?
Sure. Yeah.
I think you're thinking of Yankees, Royals, Braves, and analytics.
Sure.
That's Chris's favorite team. Team analytics. He's rooting against Derek Jeter. 13-team point.
Easy.
What? What'd you say?
It's pretty easy.
Oh, yeah. You have a lot of practice. I'm in a 13-team points league. Keep eight. So he's down to these two. By the way, stolen bases are worth 3 points, and wins are worth 10. So that makes starting pitchers and steals guys more valuable. Billy Hamilton in the 10th round. Gene Segura in the 17th. Yelich in the 5th, Moncada in the 16th, Weaver in the 21st, Realmuto in the 12th, Kane in the 9th. All right, Kane in the 9th, no way. Well, I mean, steals are important, but I'd rather have Hamilton in the 10th.
Yeah, and Yelich in the 5th, I don't think so either.
All right, so we cross out Yelich.
I don't think Segura or Moncada.
All right, so that means we're down to Billy Hamilton in the 10th. We are down to Weaver in the 21st. And Realmuto in the 12th. No,
I'm
thanks.
I'm going Hamilton and Realmuto.
Oh, no. Over Weaver?
Over what?
Weaver? Realmuto?
Yeah.
What a boring player.
Is he?
Yeah.
A catcher?
Yeah.
He's going to steal like 10 bases?
Yeah, whatever.
Get those extra few points?
Oh, man.
You could go with Weaver. catchers are hard to find. Pitchers are hard to find as well, but he's already got a couple on his team. And I just think locking in a good catcher is really valuable.
All right, fine. I would go Weaver. He would go Realmuto. See who you like better. Tom from Jersey. Very interesting discussion on innings. Home ribs. I like that. I love the autocorrect. Home ribs and the juice ball. I have thought in response to Chris, who said if they take away the juice ball, strikeouts will still be up and home runs will be down. In my opinion, players know about the juice ball, and I'm sure many of them go up to the plate trying to hit home runs. What are your thoughts? If they get rid of the juice ball, do you think it will have the impact Chris says it will?
Well, I'm responding to myself here. The one thing I would say is that strikeouts are very correlated to velocity. And I don't think pitchers are all of a sudden going to stop throwing 98 miles an hour. Velocity has league-wide just continued to increase, and I think that's tied to the increase in strikeouts. It's tied to the increase in pitcher injuries. It might be tied to the increase in home runs. I think that's a little more spurious. But I don't think strikeouts are necessarily going anywhere unless you shrink the strike zone, lower the mound, any number of things that you could do to lower them, which I don't think are worth doing. And so I think it's a real concern that if home runs go down, you're not going to see any positive impacts out of it.
I think a 20-second pitch clock could have more of an impact on strikeouts.
Absolutely.
Than a ball.
I think pitchers are able to and taught to go full effort more often because they can take that time. I think there will be an increase in injuries if there's a pitch clock of 20 seconds put in, though, at least until pitchers adjust.
I think strikeouts have gone up like every – we set a new record for strikeouts in baseball every year. It's got to be like 10 years running now.
Yep, and I believe, you know, the pitch effects data across the league has shown pretty significant consistent jumps in league-wide average fastball velocity in that time. I think the average fastball velocity is like 93 miles an hour now.
Wow. And we got two more. This is Daniel from Kentucky. Pick two out of three. Reese Hoskins, Tommy Pham, Greg Bird.
I think it's got to be Hoskins and Pham.
Fine.
This
is from Greg. Would you trade Tyler Chatwood and Alex Avila for Danny Salazar in a keeper league?
I would very quickly do that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, we were going to do like a 30-minute show, but we just had too much fun today, and I hope you had as much fun as we did. And now I can do my outro. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody! Enjoy your turkey. Hope you have ham, because it's better than turkey. And turkey... ham is to Jeremy as turkey is to Smells Like Teen Spirit. See you later.